8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast. Whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
I'm Tom Rowe at the Wave Farm in upstate New York, where we work with artists that work with the radio waves. And recently, two of the Wave Farm Radio Artist Fellows, Karen Werner and Jess Speer, have been collecting all sorts of radio artworks that we're gathering here in the Radio Art Hour to feature with other works and backed by the Conant Project's Number Station recordings, which you hear behind us now. Today on the Radio Art Hour, we're going to hear from Serbian radio artist Gordan Panovic and English radio artist Scanner. 1999 work from Panovic and a 2021 radio art track from Scanner on the Radio Art Hour.
This is Wave Farm Radio Art Fellow Karen Werner, and you're about to hear a radio art piece called Other Voices, Echoes from a War Zone, conceived and live mixed by Serbian radio artist Gordan Paunovic on April 29, 1999. In March 1999, NATO began airstrikes in Serbia to pressure President Slobodan Milosevic to stop the ethnic cleansing of Albanians in Kosovo. A month into these airstrikes on Serbia, NATO targeted the capital, Belgrade. The bombing of Belgrade began on April 29, 1999. The same evening, Gordan Paunovic broadcast this piece live from Vienna's Kunstradio, a long-standing radio art program on the Austrian National Radio Network. Gordan Paunovic was a founding member of the very popular Serbian radio station B92, which took a critical stance towards Milosevic's politics. Milosevic eventually banned and then took over the B92 radio station in March 1999, just as NATO was beginning to bomb Serbia. With Kunstradio's sponsorship and broadcast of Other Voices, Echoes from a War Zone, stations and internet platforms around the world began helping B92 maintain a broadcasting presence. Daniel Gilfillan's book Pieces of Sound about German experimental radio is where I first learned about this piece. Gilfillan writes, quote, Gordan Paunovic's radio art piece and the Kunstradio program's role in its broadcast provide an exceptional example of how artistic experimentation with the radio medium manages to break into the globalized space of radio transmission. Paunovic's motivation for producing this radio performance piece centers on the writers, artists, and media producers who were denied access to the technologies of media production by both the Milosevic media state and its broadcasts of the Serbian War, and the large television corporations and their broadcasts of the NATO intervention. End quote. In Other Voices, Echoes from a War Zone, Paunovic weaves together live and recorded sounds. Sources include music by Serbian composer Arseniji Jovanovic, live sounds of the airstrikes picked up by a microphone hanging out of a window in Belgrade, a recording of a one-minute air raid alarm from Belgrade sent through the internet, excerpts from the emails of a young media activist, Slobodan Markovic. These are the words translated into German in the piece. And diary entries from writer and feminist activist Jasmina Tesonovic. Her words are translated into English in the piece.
Other voices, echoes from a war zone.
Nešto ne znaju ni sami što traže. Oni znaju da im je ova država sve moguće dala. Stvorili ih od nečoveka, ljudsko biće.
Što se tiče krajnjeg ishoda, ja sam pesimista, nažalost. Ma, ako bi ozbiljno rešio da dobiju svoju državu ovde, mora se nešto drugo da upotrebe sem dlanova. Jer nijedna se država do sad nije nit raspala. I te neko stvorio državu dlanovima i tačno. A znate, ono čiji narod vam je država, čije su ovce njegova livada.
Pa ja ću zubima ako treba, branit ću moje ognjište. Ako imam troje male dece, shvatit ću da vam. Ali nečija mora da žive. Ako im neko obeća da im dao, nek izvoli neka dođe onda ga uzme. I Nemačka je ušla u Rusiju, ali je pala. I Amerika će negde da pala. Dobro,
večeras pijem na tvoj račun, ne?
Da li bi ti mogla zamisliti sebe da se zabavljaš nekim sa
njim? Ne, ne dolazi u obzir. To ne dolazi u obzir. Nikad. Kako bi? Odmah ti dođe to ispred sebe da je tvoj neprijatelj.
Pronađena su tela i delovi tela za koje je nesumnjivo utvrđeno da pripadaju 34 osobama. Pored leševa pronađena je bodljikava žica. Na žici upletena duga crna kosa.
Glave padaju i onako. Svakog dana imaš nekog ubijenog, nekog izgubljenog, to kao da te ubija svaki dan, kao da ti iskrati neku Serbs, the Albanians, the bad and the good guys,
those who took up the arms, those who deserted, the Kosovo refugees traveling through the woods, and the Belgrade refugees traveling through the streets with their children in their arms, looking for non-existing shelters when the alarms go off. I hope that NATO pilots don't leave behind the wives and children whom I saw crying on CNN as their husbands were taking off the military targets in Serbia. I hope we all survive, but that the world as it is does not. Today is the second aftermath day. The city is silent and paralyzed, but still working. Rubbish is taken away. We have water, we have electricity. But where are the people? In houses, in beds, in shelters. I hear several personal stories of nervous breakdowns among my friends, male and female. Those who were in a nervous breakdown for the past year, since the war in Kosovo started, who were very few, now feel better. Real danger is less frightening than fantasies of danger. I couldn't cope with the invisible war as I can cope with concrete needs, bread, water, medicine. And also very important, I can see an end. Finally, we in Belgrade got what all the rest of Yugoslavia has had, war on our territory. March 28th, 1999. Belgrade is still rocking, shaking, trembling. We are entering the second phase of NATO intervention. The alarm is on for hours, nearly 24. I need to go out to buy some food. We are not really hungry. People who have been through second or third phase of NATO intervention say it can get much worse. At this point, people off and on the streets take pills to stay calm or just cry to stay calm. I fight for my computer every day, every hour. Everybody in my family wants my computer, the only one at home, for playing, for studying, for communicating. I fight between the urge to write and not to write. Writing in war is not like writing in peace, though for me, writing was always a matter of biological urge to avoid the pain. It is gloomy, it is raining. The alarm is on all the time. I have just heard that martial law with execution as punishment has been established. I still cannot believe we are living in war, we are living in nobody's war. But no less true and cruel and in tradition with what war is all about, false heroism and false excitement. Today I haven't been out. I heard some friends of mine haven't been out at all these days. As I said, the act of going out has become an act of courage. April 3rd, 1999. It is morning, a beautiful sunny morning. I am crying. I am relaxing. Last night, the center of Belgrade was bombed with appalling precision. Yes, the military targets, but only 20 meters from one of the biggest maternity hospitals in the Balkans. The one where I was born and years later gave birth. The destroyed building was the Ministry of the Interior. Some of my friends remember being interrogated there. I'm relieved and happy with NATO's precision. It was even raining. But I feel visible, exposed to those young responsible pilots who carry their cargo, wondering will they make it to hit the military building without doing anything wrong to a newborn baby. They were all in shelters, the babies and their mothers, and I am crying, relieved. All this matter of life and death reminds me of a delivery, of my delivery, of being brave and crying at the same time. What a virtual, playful, cruel war. There can be wars, lived from inside or from outside. Personally, my war is a horrid war, made of terrible images of the killings of my dearest and torture and rape. Those images haunt me when the alarm goes off. It is them that make my hair go white in one night, last night. April 4th, 1999. I hear people say it is not the bombs I am afraid of, but the sirens I cannot stand anymore. My neighbor who complained about our loud music now is complaining about it being foreign aggressors' music. The crack in the time back to the future, the 50s. One second I forgot what happened to us. The next second, a commonplace occurred to me. We had a life we did not appreciate. We quarreled, complained, made each other suffer. And now all the wheels have fallen. We are united in love and suffering. Pain it is, I know, but is it love? April 12, 1999. I couldn't go to sleep last night. Finally, I took a tranquilizer. There it goes, I started to. I postponed all these weeks the use of drugs to stay normal, but I see that no normal person can stay normal without drugs, if you want to stay here. I do not want to go. I do not want to leave my city, my friends, my streets, my habits, my language. I do not believe in other. I understand those who left, out of fear, out of need. I could have been one of them too, but I want to stay. Friends from all over the world offer me flats, money, help. But the only thing I need from them and from others all over the world is to try to stop our war. During the day, we live the Serbian war. New identity cards, walk on bridges, solidarity among hurt people. During the night, we have the NATO war, detonations, fires, shelters. Last night, an old man next door was taken to the hospital during the intensive air raids. He was tied to a chair and carried out of his flat. He politely said, "Good night." I guess it was some kind of nervous breakdown. Alone all these weeks, he couldn't take it anymore. Better a crowded hospital. April 13th, 1999. The old man next door who said good night died. Good night, ladies. Good night, my sweet ladies. April 13th, 1999. Today I watched television. The woman with a scared face from the train hit by NATO bomb answered the question, "What do you think of this NATO aggression?" I just went to visit my relatives for Easter. I refuse to give interviews and opinions on what is going on. I'm just like the woman with a scared face, a political idiot, where idiot stands for what it meant in ancient Greece. A person to whom information is denied. At that time, most of men and all of women. Today, all of us all over the world. Humanitarian aid is a big business. There will be a lot of opportunity to do business for the next 20 years at this scene of the crime. I hope I will not be here to witness anybody's sense of guilt. April 15th, 1999. In the middle of the night, the window started to rattle violently, as in a horror movie, and the sky was full of fire. My daughter woke up and screamed and clung to me. She is bigger than I am now, but she had all of a sudden the body of a baby. Horrible, horrible pictures of refugees killed by bombs in the convoy in Kosovo. Horrible NATO definition of collateral damage to the targeted military convoy. I saw some soldiers here in Belgrade. They were young, very worried, awkwardly carrying the big guns. I can imagine them in the convoy during the night in the woods in Kosovo. All these city boys could be my sons. April 20th, 1999. Instead of going on bridges, people should guard the factories of potential ecological catastrophes. Two of them, I hear, are very dangerous and were hit. I hear say that people on bridges are manipulated by parties, that parties are fighting among them to manipulate the same crowds, but I saw their faces, and I am one of them. I do not wear badges. I never wear any public signs, in war or peace. I feel manipulated to wear Levi on my jeans. I never buy signed clothes nor signed thoughts. But I am as manipulated as people on the bridges, on the streets, in queues for cigarettes, with patriotic or traitor's thoughts. I know it, and I am ready to offer my body to protect the dangerous factories or to be a dividing unarmed wall between Serbs and Albanians in Kosovo. It is a heroic way of being a coward, but nobody gives me, nor people like me, any chance. Oh yes, and something about atrocities about Albanian refugees. Please, all of you who are reading this, understand that I accept all the blame as much as you want me to. I know what is going on, even if I have no proofs but some people saying it, as I am saying all these things about my life, expecting you to believe me. Now, what is my cross? NATO bombs, Serbian patriotic death. Okay, between compulsive patriotism and compulsive sense of guilt, I guess there is no way out. It would take another life to do so. April 23rd, 1999. I guess you all know the television building was hit last night. My window burst open from the blast. I live quite near whilst my parents are just behind. A very good friend of mine lives in the building next to television. We are all okay, except for the sacrificed TV workers, common craftsmen who had no ideas about what the program should look like. I'm okay, except for the people this morning in the market, clearly distressed by lack of understanding. Just yesterday, I thought now everybody is fighting for our souls, of us Serbs led astray. All these televisions, local and international, we even receive American leaflets from the planes telling us about us. Not even the Colorado teenaged killers could draw attention from our educational program. My father said, the impact wasn't that bad. Worst part was seeing the decapitated bodies taken from the television building. The Serbian TV is broadcasting again, better than yesterday. Some of foreign journalists who arrived yesterday to report are afraid for their lives. I am afraid for my soul, and yes, for my children who walked through the center of Belgrade, next to ex-TV building. They say some unexploded bombs are still hidden around. April 26th, 1999. I'm sick. I know I shouldn't be. I still could buy a strong antibiotic this morning when I woke up choking with pain and fear of this new illness. It was symbolic, the physical impediment of speech. I was silent, silenced. I was writing down my needs as a testament. I remembered the dying Freud with throat cancer emigrating in 1939 from Germany to England, and I decided not to let it happen to me. If we have to leave, we will leave all together as Albanian refugees. I will not leave my men behind to fight somebody else's cause. They are my men, and not just chess players of a nation state. The famous NATO star Jamie Shea said we, Serbian citizens, feel safe with NATO bombs. We do not stop working when hearing the sirens. Well, maybe we do not stop working, but that is for other reasons, because the work has to be done, not because we feel protected. I do not feel safe with the NATO or any other bombs, NATO being the only ones I know. I do not feel safe without bridges, in a boat, on a horse, on a bicycle, against NATO airplane. I do not feel safe without schools, universities, libraries, against highly technological NATO countries. I am not afraid, not anymore. We are beyond good or evil by now, but my legs simply tremble when I hear the NATO or any other planes with bombs above my head.
Educational program. My father said, thank you.
got to win thunderously big. We've got to win overwhelmingly big. And why? Because the reputation of our commander-in-chief is at stake.
Ich bin 21 Jahre alt und Informatikstudent an der Universität in Belgrad. Ich unterstütze Gewalt in keiner Weise als Lösung eines Konflikts. Meine E-Mails erzählen wie ein Tagebuch von den Erfahrungen in diesem gottverdammten Krieg. Freitag, 26. März 1999, 1.37 Uhr. Die Sirenen verkündeten vor 2 Stunden das Ende des NATO-Luftangriffs. Ich wohne ungefähr 5 Kilometer vom Belgrader Zentrum im 7. Stock und sehe rüber zum Zentrum. Heute sind so wenige Lichter zu sehen, dass ich problemlos alle einzeln sehen kann. Belgrad ist total im Dunkeln. Ich meine das ernst. Keine Straßenbeleuchtung, keine blinkenden Neonschilder, kein Licht in Häusern und Wohnungen. Überall Finsternis. Und auch keine Wolken. Nur der Mond hängt über der Stadt. Spektakulär, angsteinflößend, klaustrophobisch, zu blöd, dass man einen verdammten Krieg braucht, um sowas zu sehen. Sonntag, 28. März 22. Die jugoslawische Regierung hat den Kriegszustand ausgerufen, als die NATO mit dem Bombardement begann. Und dadurch haben Polizei und Armee viel größere Rechte. Deswegen war es auch so unglaublich leicht für sie, letzte Woche die unabhängigen Radio- und Fernsehstationen zu verbieten oder unter Kontrolle zu bekommen. Also Radio B92 in Belgrad, Radio 021 in Novi Sad, Soko TV in Sokobanja beispielsweise. Ich vermute auch, dass alle albanischen Zeitungen im Kosovo mittlerweile verboten sind. Und man kann natürlich überhaupt nichts dagegen machen oder protestieren, solange offiziell Kriegszustand ist. Alle öffentlichen Treffen sind striktest verboten und die Strafen wären drakonisch. Thank you. Donnerstag, 1. April 1999, 19.58 Uhr. Die Donaubrücke in Novi Sad, der Hauptstadt des nördlichen Serbiens, also der Vojvodina, wurde heute Morgen zerstört. Ein Freund meiner Freundin wohnt dort und er erzählte von fürchterlichen Erschütterungen der ganzen Gegend. Alle Gläser und Fenster zerbrochen. Diese Zerstörung von Brücken ist doch total sinnlos. Damit kann die NATO eigentlich nur beabsichtigen, die Bürger von Novi Sad zu schädigen. Die wissen doch, dass das Militär in der Lage ist, in weniger als einer Stunde eine schwimmende Brücke zu verlegen, wenn sie aus militärischen Gründen wirklich eine brauchen. Ich befürchte einfach, das ist der Auftakt zu ähnlichen Zerstörungen in Belgrad. Hoffentlich täusche ich mich. Samstag, 3. April 1999, 5.20 Uhr. Heute um 0.45 Uhr sind NATO-Missiles im Zentrum von Belgrad explodiert. Das ist der erste Luftangriff auf das Zentrum von Belgrad seit dem 6. April 1941, als die deutschen Nazi-Flugzeuge Belgrad bombardierten und damit den Beginn der späteren Okkupation markierten. Die Cruise-Missiles explodierten bloß ein paar Meter neben der größten Geburtsklinik im Zentrum von Belgrad. Alle Säuglinge und ihre Mütter wurden sofort evakuiert. Niemand hätte gedacht, dass die NATO sowas tun würde. CNN hat natürlich sofort auf das serbische National-TV umgeschaltet und das alles ausgestrahlt, mit all den nett vor sich hin brennenden Gebäuden. Aber sofort die Übertragung abgebrochen, als die Evakuation der Geburtsklinik zu sehen war. Und bis jetzt weiß niemand was von möglichen Todesfällen. Ich kann es einfach immer noch nicht glauben, dass jemand den Befehl gibt, das Zentrum einer europäischen Hauptstadt mit 2,5 Millionen Menschen einfach zu bombardieren. Ich kann einfach nicht glauben, dass so ein Idiot, der diesen Befehl gibt, dieselbe Luft auf dieser verdammten Erde atmet. Dienstag, 6. April 1999, 1.26 Uhr. Auch gestern wieder, ca. 4:30 Uhr früh, die NATO greift Belgrad an. Wenn ich mir die offiziellen Pentagon-Statements anhöre, wird langsam klar, es geht tatsächlich darum, den Serben das Fürchten zu lernen, wie es irgendwo hieß, und nicht um das Treffen militärischer Ziele. Und wenn sie das versuchen, dazu Folgendes. Gestern fielen Bomben auf eine Kaserne in Zvestara im Osten von Belgrad. Ich kenne mich bei jugoslawischen Armeeeinrichtungen überhaupt nicht aus, aber Zvestara, das kenne ich wie meine Westentasche, dort bin ich aufgewachsen. Aus meiner Schule konnten wir die Soldaten in dieser Kaserne sehen. Es ist ein 2 Quadratkilometer großes Areal. Schießstände, Sporteinrichtungen, Schlafsäle und ein Speisesaal. Nicht mehr und nicht weniger. Mein Cousin aus Kroatien hat dort vor vielen Jahren seinen Militärdienst geleistet. Der ganz normale Militäralltag. Aufstehen um 5, essen, laufen, schießen, marschieren, schlafen. Und jetzt geht es also so, eine 700.000 Dollar Cruise Missile auf so eine Kaserne gerichtet und dann den Speisesaal zerstören. Die Erdäpfel und die Zwiebel lagen wie geschlachtet am ganzen Areal herum. Das einzige wirkliche Opfer dieses Angriffs war übrigens meine Volksschule. Da sind jetzt alle Fenster kaputt. NATO, von jetzt an nehme ich es persönlich. Donnerstag, 6. April 1999, 6.14 Uhr. Das war nun eine besondere Nacht, eine ganz besondere. Zuerst um Mitternacht attackieren die NATO-Flugzeuge Aleksinac, eine kleine Bergbaustadt im Südosten von Serbien. Das Ziel war schlicht die Stadt selbst. Das Spital ist ernsthaft beschädigt, 12 Wohnhäuser sind dem Erdboden gleichgemacht. Nicht ein einziges militärisches Objekt wurde getroffen, ganz einfach, weil es da gar keine militärischen Objekte gibt in Aleksinac. Bis jetzt hat man 5 Tote und 20 Verletzte gefunden. Um 3 Uhr dann wieder ein Angriff auf Novi Sad und ratet mal was, ja, die letzte noch benutzbare Brücke über die Donau ist zerstört. Diesmal hat die jugoslawische Luftabwehr offensichtlich einmal beschlossen, das Reich jetzt und ein Flugzeug abgeschossen, bevor es seine Bomben werfen konnte. Der Pilot landete mit seinem Schleudersitz irgendwo in den Vororten von Novi Sad. Gestern sah ich noch im Fernsehen all die anderen zerstörten Brücken und Eisenbahnlinien in Serbien. Und langsam beginne ich zu begreifen, was die wollen. Die bereiten tatsächlich eine Okkupation vor. Kosovo zuerst und dann vergessen sie, was sie gesagt hatten und besetzen gleich alles. Das wäre dann die dritte Okkupation Jugoslawiens durch ausländische Truppen in diesem Jahrhundert. Halt, sagt mir jetzt ja nicht, das ist alles wegen Milosevic und dass wegen seiner halt eine Menge Leute sterben müssen, die zufälligerweise in diesem Land wohnen, zufälligerweise zu diesem unglücklichen Zeitpunkt und unglücklicherweise dieselbe Luft atmen wie dieser Arsch von Diktator, der als einziger sicher nicht an einer NATO-Bombe sterben wird. Hat da irgendjemand was von humanitärer Katastrophe gesagt? Letzte Nacht war das Armeespital, das aber seit Beginn der NATO-Angriffe leer steht. Aber der Pilot verfehlte sein Ziel. Du armseliger Idiot vom Pilot. Das Armeespital liegt an der zweiten Straßenkreuzung, wenn man vom Bahnhof kommt, nicht an der ersten. Dort nämlich liegt das St. Sava-Spital, eine Herzklinik und Rekonvaleszenzzentrum für Herzkranke. 100 Meter neben diesem hat der Bomber seine 900 Kilo Monster abgeworfen. Sonntag, 11. April 1999, 4.26 Uhr. Kürzlich las ich im Internet, Tony Blair selbst hat klargemacht, dass der Krieg, Zitat, gegen Milosevics Serbien nicht länger bloß eine militärische Auseinandersetzung ist. Es ist der Kampf zwischen Gut und Böse, zwischen Zivilisation und Barbarei. Na, dann ist das Folgende wohl ein Beispiel für Zivilisation. Die Črevena Zastava-Fabrik in Kragujevac wurde getroffen. Diese Fabrik versorgte 38.000 Menschen mit Arbeit. Also haben diese schon vor Tagen begonnen, ein lebendes 24-Stunden-Schutzschild aus Arbeitern einzurichten. Das war die Top-Meldung zu Beginn des Krieges. Also jeder NATO-General wusste das. Who cares? Hä? Wen kümmert das? Gestern hat die Bombe 120 Arbeiter verletzt. Ein vollkommen unnötiger Akt der Gewalt. Die Raketen trafen keine Munitions- oder Waffenfabriken, sondern eine Autobestandteilfabrik. In den Bergen von Zlatibor zerstörten die Raketen das Hotel des Olympischen Skikomitees Jugoslawiens. Drei Zivilisten waren auf der Stelle tot. Ist es das, was Sie meinen mit den Serben, das Fürchten lehren? Außerdem wurden gestern die Opfer des Bombardements von Pristina beerdigt. Und außerdem jene 100 Toten, die wegen des getroffenen Friedhofs ein zweites Mal beerdigt wurden. In Jugoslawien haben nicht einmal mehr die Toten ihre Ruhe. Mit 14. April 1999, 15.30 Uhr. Cool, die NATO beginnt, das Zentrum des Problems zu treffen. Zitat: Ein NATO-Geschoss traf einen Passagierzug im südöstlichen Serbien, mindestens 10 Tote und 16 Verletzte. Die Aufräumarbeiter erzählten der Nachrichtenagentur Reuters, sie hätten 9 verbrannte Leichen aus dem Zug geborgen und eine 10. im naheliegenden Fluss gefunden. Albright und Clinton in der Zwischenzeit, Zitat, die Anstrengungen werden intensiviert und so fort. Eine wunderbare Art, eine, nochmals Zitat, humanitäre Katastrophe zu stoppen, Frieden auf den Balkan zu bringen.
He was very defensive about this, but you're right, David. I mean, this is the kind of, quote, clean war. This is the kind of clean war.
You just heard Other Voices, Echoes from a War Zone, created by Serbian radio artist Gordon Paunovic in 1999. To learn more about this piece and many other examples of radio art, please visit the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
Here is the British radio artist Scanner with his 2021 track Shuffle Shimmer from the album Trawl on the Radio Art Hour. We'll be right back. preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.